I'm gonna begin by asking the following question. I already wrote on the board a number of people's answers from last time. So don't cheat. Don't cheat by looking. But it's really a question that does not require, it's not a cheat question because it's really very personal. I've seen many people in life have struggled to go to minyan. It's not even, it's not you, it may be your friend. Might be some situation that arises where, it's a challenge and many becomes hard to go to in the end. So I asked the last group some issues that may make minyan a challenge to go to. And even though I see in this room over here, most people here are minyan goers. Not everyone, I'm not pointing fingers, but I get to list every day who doesn't come and who does come. Most of you are very good minyan goers. People tell me, I'm a little lazy. I can get lazy sometimes. That's why I may not go to minyan. Or, with again, it's not about davening, easy for you. It's not about davening, it's about minyan. So maybe minyan's a little long. If I'm down by myself, I probably could knock it out in about 25 minutes, half hour maybe if I'm feeling it today. But you go to the minyan Oitraga, and it's about a 50-minute ordeal, we'll call it. It's early in the morning. Wake up a little later, still daven. Again, I guess long and boring kind of go together. It's part of it's not even me. I'm just kind of watching someone else. I feel a bit seaboard. The chef seaboard speaks, and I'm just sitting here waiting for the finish. I got better options, which meant that if I sleep longer right now, then I'll be up later on for more learning. And after all, my goal, I'm doing a calculated Ratz on Hashem decision by sleeping late and not going to the minyan. Okay? Creative.
That's a classic.
Classic. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hard to focus people are around. People are around me. You know, I do better when I'm alone in my own meditative state. People are there next to me. They're davening out loud or they're distracting me. So I do better when I'm by myself. Why is it better to daven the minyan? They ask. It's just, I'm davening. Does it matter if I have a minyan? Did I have a review to daven the minyan? I don't think so. I mean, there were 10 people that probably would have joined them. But he did daven the minyan. And time limitations, you know, minyan are pretty precise times. First raga, you're supposed to have only one minyan or two minyan. Svardi minyan, the Ashkenaz minyan. Past that point in time, there shouldn't be any functioning minyan. I'm not saying there aren't. But there shouldn't be functioning minyans past 8 o'clock. So you get to pay me into a corner I have here or I'm stuck. You know, admittedly, you have 2 minutes. You have 2:45 for Grus, 2:55 for Shriver. Past that point in time, I can't make... So it requires me to be so, you know, careless with my time. It's just, you know, what do you expect from me? It's hard. And I'm lazy. Which makes it double hard for me to get out when it's beginning. These are all reasons why a person might be challenged by minyan. Again, I'm not talking about davening. I'm assuming over here, everyone who's in this group, even though it may not be true, but I'm assuming anyways, just for my own sake, my own, you know, going home at night and sleeping well, that everyone here would like to daven to Hashem. They all wished they connect to God better. And if it would be easier for all these reasons, they'd go to minyan every day if they could. They'd like to. After all, there's a creator, and he did create us, and he asks for us. By the way, there's an unbelievable idea. I saw it quoted the first time in the Sefer called Tzilas Mevoras Hashem. That when you go to when you leave the world, the heavenly world, to come down in this world, so you're so excited. You're so excited that you have a mission. You've been waiting for the mission, and the mission is you can be far away from God. You have the opportunity to prove yourself loyal to Him despite all the distractions around you. And you're so excited. And the mashal it brings down is you have a king who's been grooming his son to become the next king. He's a prince right now, become the next king. And it's very exciting. His first job he gets when he's 18 years old. He's the governor of one of the local communities that is his own kingdom. He's so excited, but then he starts to get a little forlorn. But that means, Dad, I'm not going to see you every day. I'm not going to be able to just grab you whenever I need. I'm going to be busy. And then that's a little hard. I'm excited for the job, but it's a little hard to be away from you. At which point, the king says to his son, you know what? Let's make daily meetings. Let's meet together every day. Make it twice a day. We'll sit and we'll talk. Tell me how your day went. I'll be one of your advisors. And we'll have an opportunity. Not even though we won't be in the same palace all day long together, we can sit and talk. We can talk. We can schmooze. We can tell me what's going on in your life. Tell me how the business is going. And that opportunity, they have allowed us to speak again. We leave the old MS. We go from the world of spirituality to the world of physicality. We're so excited. You say, God, give me a chance. I'm going to prove myself worthy. We're now 18 years later. 19 years later, hopefully we feel that we have been doing a good job. Hopefully. But we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? It's a little sad for me, though. Our neshama says, it's a little sad. What am I? I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to spend time at all. Like, we saw each other every moment now. So Hashem says, you know what I'll do? I'll do you a favor. Call it minyan. Daven. Or tefillah. Daven. Daven. Share with me what's going on in your life. Ask me your requests. We'll continue to say, have a kesher like that way. It's not minyan. It's davening. And we beg this. We thank him so much. Thank you for the opportunity to daven. I can keep my connection alive with you. Now, I wonder how many of us feel that way. Not us in the room, but us in the world. How many feel so fortunate to daven shacharis in the morning? Your alarm buzzes at 7:40, 7:20. Should be. And you're like, yes! Yes! I'm so excited to go back into daven. Even if we go. You know, we're not so excited about it. Even if we go. But that's what it was for. But how about minyan? Where did minyan come from? Who knows? What's the source for a minyan to be 10 people? Anyone know? Where's that come from?
Avram.
Good. Why are you saying Avram?
Like,
excellent. Where do you get that from, though? That's not really the truth, but that's a good, Rabbi's a great guess. We find the first time we ever find a minyan is a Parsha. Avram Avinu said, save Sodom and Amorah, those five cities.
There are 50 people,
10 per city. See that?
Hey.
You want to switch places with Joan over here?
No, you got it.
Okay. If you want to add anything, I would love to hear at the end what you would want to, you know, thank your grandparents for coming, you know, etc. We find, as Rafi pointed out, we find minion-like behaviors. 10 people will save the whole city. 10 per city is 50. But where did it come from, a minion being 10? Anyone know what the source is? So it's Gzer Shava. The word Eda is the key word. Refers to what, Gabe?
It's regarding the 12 spies. So the two.
Excellent. There were 12 Meradlin, and it says, Ad Matai Le'ida Hara Hazeh. Hazot, why are you going to let this bad Eda, this bad congregation? One second. So we're learning the rules of a minion from the 10 bad spies? That's a source of minyan? It seems to be. Like, you want to tell me the 10 tzaddikim, like Rafi said, of Avraham Avinu's story? That would make much more sense to me. Why are the 10 bad spies the source of minyan? Jonah, what do you think? Is it part of your speech or no? Part of your speech? Okay, let me hear. What do you got? What do you got for me? Oh, I thought you raised your hand for me. You raised your hand, I thought. No?
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
You're saying, like, the source of the, like, minyan is
being 10 people.
Being 10 people, but, like, us, like, dogging, like, in a minion is something that, like, happened after, unless I'm wrong.
Once we had minion, so now the chazal or batakein, that you should daven with a minion. Now, why would you daven? Why is a minion so important? I mean, are some of these claims good? Some of these claims good? I mean, lazy is not a good claim, obviously. That's like not really like a L'shem Shemayim claim. But here's a claim. Calculated decision. I wake up at 7, I actually spoke to someone today about this topic. I can go to sleep right now for a longer period of time. It's one option. And miss minion, per se. I'll miss minion, but I'll sleep. And I'll be up at 11, and I'll be on fire in my shir. It's a thought. He's thinking to be productive. Is that not a fair option? I'll daven. I'll even wake up and I'll say kriyas rabbis man. I'll daven is man. Or I'll do a quick, 15-20 minute chick chak yote, check my boxes, as our Moshe said earlier on. Then I'll go back to sleep again. I'll wake up at 10 o'clock, 10:30, shower, 11 minutes matters. I'm fire. It's a calculated decision. Is that a fair claim? Why not? Why is it not fair? Why is it not fair? Someone tell me why it's not fair. You're right, it's not fair. Why is it not fair?
Can you file taxes on April 17th?
I don't know, can you? I don't know when's tax for April 15th?
Like, you're late.
You're late. Okay. Okay. So Ari's going to be here. You have time for things. And 11 o'clock, it's called late. Even though you may be filing those taxes better, but you still miss the tax filing time. Okay.
It's not short. It's not like... You just like wake up for 20 minutes, say like do it real quick, and then that's it. It's
okay, it's not sure. I'm Yotze, say I check the box like Rav Moshe said earlier on. Imagine the following thing. Imagine you're a new parent, a new father, and your kid, your newborn kid, which happens sometimes. Baruch Hashem, the sweetest sound is your child crying. Sweetest sound you can have in the world. It gets less sweet as they cry more, but it's still the sweetest sound you can imagine. And they start to cry at 2:30 in the morning, and you know you don't do well with a little sleep. So I can either be a great parent at 8, or a bad parent at 8, wake up right now. So can you imagine your wife, honey, let's leave the kid for now. You know, we'll be better parents if we just like let this one go. We'll get him late in a few hours now. He'll survive. You know? That's not parenting. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. I know it's a challenge. You're not doing it because you want to. You may not even want to. I'm sure you want to daven, but you don't wake up that early. It's very hard. But it's not about you sometimes. It's about a commitment that you made. Now, I didn't make that commitment between you and I. I never signed up for this, did I? So that's where the story I started with you before, Yom goes. When you were first coming down here, the commitment you signed up for was to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, put me far away from you, because I'm so good. I'm going to find you in this challenging world that you put me on. And you're going to see I'm going to make you so proud. And you begged Hashem for it. And now here we are. You know, 18, 19 years later. And we're like, oh my gosh, what? I don't remember signing up for that. Now, you're not going to remember. That's the whole point. You don't remember that part. But in about 100 years from now, you're going to remember. 101, 102, something.
Amen.
You're going to remember. You go to Shemayim again. Your soul is going to be brought back up again. You're going to be like, this looks so familiar. What happened last time I was here? Oh my gosh. I completely forgot. So now is your chance to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, as an alarm clock rings, I'm really frustrated. I don't want to listen to it at all. This is my commitment that I made. My child is crying. I can't just push it off until later. It's important to do that. More than that, minyan with 10 rishayim has a koach of a minyan. 10 people together who are now saying over here, if they would choose to, which they didn't, to be goal of Shem Shemayim. People are bad people who are responsible for 40 years in the Midbar. The rishayim of the Raglan. If they would say, you know what, let's stop them together. That will be called just as good of a minyan as 10 of the Goliath Dor get together. It's a minyan. It works just like the same way. Number 10 happens to be, if you look in Chazal, we mentioned, Rafi mentioned before, the 10 people that Adam, that Avram, you know, counted per city. Or we have an idea in Masechet Sukkah, and Daf Hey, that there was a, that Hashem doesn't go within 10 tefachim to the ground. Or we can't get within 10 tefachim to the Shemayim. There's a 10 tefachim space. There are 10 generations from Adam to, you know, to Adam to Noach, and Noach to Avram. The 10 commandments. The 10 makos. A lot of 10s. 10 is a number of great significance. When you get 10 people together on a common goals and common theme, with the opportunity you have in front of you is awesome. You can move mountains by doing that in the end. There's things you can't do without a minyan. For example, can't do without a minyan. I can't do without a minyan. I can't do Kedusha. I can't do Baruch Hu. I can't say Kaddish. None of those things. Chazal bring down the koach of Amin Yehesh Mei Rabba, said with Kol Kochosav. It says it tears Gzardim for 70 years. I don't know what that means. I'm not one of the guys who says what that means. I don't know what that means. But I know it means it's good. It means it's really good. You can't say Amin Yehesh Mei Rabba without 10 people around you. You can't. Even if you could say every word really well, you can't do that. You're missing such an easy thing to do by not being part of it. When you daven, if you ever watch, you know, great Rabbanim in the Chazaras HaShatz, they're not walking around usually. Rav Shechter, who comes later on to the base manager of the yeshiva in different times of the year, during Shemot Esrei, he sits his feet together, Rav Shechter, with his sitter and following word for word, underlining, you know, following with his hand while he doesn't know the words by heart. No, he's trying to focus. You know what I always hear after we have Kedusha in the yeshiva? I hear this sound.
It's like a lazy boy trying to sing. It's not. It doesn't move back, but it feels like that. You look around, everyone is in that position.
What happened? Right now, you're about to hear a chazan say a bracha of rifa'inu, and you can say an amen to a bracha. It's not only for you, but it's for the whole seaboard. And instead, you're just like, you know, you're relaxing on a very not relaxing chair, and looking on your phone. What you looked at already the last 20 minutes anyways? Like, what happened in the last few minutes since you dashed from Esrei? Which I'll give you, let's say, 4 minutes since then. What happened? What is, like, your phone is popping right now? Things are going on. Nothing's going on at 2:59. You finish your dash, nothing's happening. What are you doing? You're missing a chance to say an amen. Or an amen yehesh mei rabba, b'kol chol chosav, which is something that only a minyan will provide for you. Not only that, look over here if you can. Beshe Chachma, I gave you the source of the sheet. He's an unbelievable pshat. It says in the Torah, when Yaakov Avinu is describing to Yosef the gifts that he gave him, he says the following line in Perek Memches, the very end, Pasuk Chavez. I've given you an extra portion, says Yaakov to Yosef. I got it from the Amori, b'charbi u'b'kashti.
with my sword and with my bow and arrow. Says Uklus in the spot, you don't have this in front of you yet, we'll get to in a minute. Says Uklus in the spot, he says, Bitslusi ubitbausi. My sword means slusi, my davening, and my bow and arrow means bausi, my davening. Why wouldn't, I mean, Yaakov wasn't a big warrior, but he's describing war-like scenes. My sword, my bow and arrow, and but the Uklus translated it not like that. Translated to be my davening and my davening. What does that mean? Look at what we mentioned for a second. Again, it's the sword right next to us, where the arrow is. He says, one of them is B'yachid and one is B'tzibur. Shaseir ha-tzfila, shu B'tzibur, when you daven with the congregation, av shu b'lo kavana. I'm having a terrible davening. My head is pounding. I slept only 3 hours last night. I cannot focus. I'm doing terribly. But I'm B'tzibur, miskabelis. That happens to be effective. That works. However, lo kena bakasha chadasha. It's not the same when I do my own personal new bakasha. He tzricha liyos bekavana muflegas. That requires strong kavana. And he goes on to explain that the word, the weapon of a sword is the weapon of a person davening with tzibur, and the weapon of the bow and arrow is the one who's davening by himself. How does that work? A sword, you take a sword, you start like just like flailing around. There's a guy in front of you. You're just like kind of doing your own. That guy has been sliced to smithereens, to pieces, by you just like flailing around. You hit him. Whether you meant to, whether you're good at it, you're just like kind of throwing it up there, you'll kill the guy in front of you. But a bow and an arrow is very different. Precision. It requires aim. It requires strength. One little like twitch at the very end, she goes flying right past your target. The tefillah of a yachid is the tefillah of a bow and an arrow. Which means if you are a Rebbe, you can nail it. For sure. You can. It's doable. But it requires such expertise. People do have it in the world. I don't think I have it. But people do have it. But a sword, if you just go with a minion, and you daven with them, and you're not feeling it, but you're part of the group, then you will be slicing and dicing your way to the Kisei HaKavod. It's just part of being with everybody else. Again, you should daven with Kavana. Of course you want to try harder. But the Shabbat explains that the tefillah of a tzibur is different than the tefillah of a yachid. It's different. Despite the fact that it's hard to focus people around me. It's true. But as much as you're going to focus anyways, the best you can do, that's a bow and an arrow shot. It will not compare to you having a sword just like jabbing the guy in front of you. Yeah.
Doesn't that seem kind of paradoxical? Because let's say you're really killing it with your short essay, yachidus.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done with it and like totally like you nailed it, you're going to have gone through Chazarat HaShatz, you're going to have missed the bow and arrow portion. But let's say you're very big on, like, you're not really, like, you're very big on making the Tefillah of Tzibur, say Kedusha.
Okay, so I have to reiterate. Let me explain one more thing. You're right. Great question, Jacob. When I say me, does not mean you answer. I don't remember the last time I got in a regular weekday a Kedusha. I remember the last time. I have no idea what that happened was. It happened in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, because it's a longer davening, it takes a while to get to action. I don't know. I feel this room over here. I know like me also. I don't know the last time that some of you have gotten to a kadosh 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 with the tzibur. That's not what I mean. When you daven Shemoneh Esrei, I'll tell you a great story. This story from Moshe Benevitz many many years ago. As you know, the Sima Shas is coming up very soon, and there was a they had maybe it's two cycles ago, like 14 years ago, whatever it was, in Madison Square Garden. At some point recently, maybe it was 3 cycles ago, 27 years ago, Madison Square Garden. And, you know, you had, the place was, like, packed. And Benevitz, at the end of the scene, he was walking outside, and he heard a security guard talking to his friend. I've never seen a garden like that, he said. Never seen a massive garden like that. So he's like, listen, you know, certainly, you know, it was definitely singing and dancing, you know, I get we were loud, but really? Like, you know, when the Rangers won the cup, the garden wasn't like, jumping up and down like that? Or, you know, in Patrick Ewing's heyday, when they were in the playoffs all the time and making a run at the title, they never got to in the end with him. It was never like that. So he goes to the guy, what, you must be recent here. How long have you working here for? He says, about 35 years. He said, you never heard the garden as loud as it was tonight? He says, I didn't say that. I've never heard the garden as quiet as when all of you guys were doing your silent prayers. That's Tefillah B'Tzibur. When you and your friend are together closing your eyes and davening, that's a tzibur. doesn't mean that you're answering all the time. Could be that you're not. Could be you never even get to the spot of answering. You're so busy doing. But when you start with your friend on three, one, two, and everyone's doing this, their own thing and their own pace, but together, that's a teamwork. And when they get to the kedusha, you can't answer because you're so caught up in your yushalayim, your chabarach mitashuv over the malshinim. You beg Hashem, please stop the animals from attacking us. And you feel it, they get all of a sudden the kedusha, and you just stop and pause and listen. It's feel a bit tzibur. So you're not rushing it to get there in the end. That's the idea of what a tzibur is supposed to be like. You and the guy next to you, I don't care even what you're up to in life. My wife told me a story. Nothing with the tzibur. She was in the Ukraine before we had met each other and wants to go, why USSR? And you're talking about people who are just different worlds, like the Russians that were there. The older Russians, you know, 75-year-old men, they never left. They weren't allowed to leave Russia at all. And these you know, these guys and girls coming in, 22 years old, from America, you can't relate at all. You try to have a conversation, they can't speak, they don't understand English. You don't speak Russian, you're stuck. All of a sudden, you know, Mara starts, V'rachum, and every person is the same exact feeling. You can't communicate with them. I can't ask what their day was, but I just had a communication with them. We prayed side by side, the same exact words. There's something even nowadays called social orthodoxy. You ever heard beforehand? What it means is people who don't want to be frum, but they don't want to miss the social opportunities that provide being part of the Orthodox community. Like shul. They want to go to shul. Because when you're in shul, you're with people. People that you appreciate, that you have what in common with. I don't care how long it is, or how early, or quote-unquote boring, or how lazy you might be. You have the opportunity to be with someone who shares so much in common with you. And though they're dominant for their thing, you're doing it separately. But when you watch people like Taoism together, everyone just gets to the same part at the same time, and everyone's closing their eyes doing their own thing, the world is like shaking, and you're flying in Shemayim with your sword whipping back and forth. You can have a bad davening, your head is hurting, you're distracted, but you just join 50 people on a charge to the heavens. You cannot compare that to anything else. You can't compare it. Not only that, but even if you just tap in to the time that the tzibur davened, you get something out of that. Look at the Gemara Brachos over here, the top source. Gemara Brachos. We're getting to an end in about 3 minutes. Gemara Brachos says, "Avchesam al chesam aveiz." I'm going to repeat this up. The Rav Nachman, my time alo asi mar lebe kedusha letzluye. This is asking Rav Nachman, why didn't you, master, come to the shul to daven? I'm lo yachilna. I wasn't feeling. I wasn't able to. It's an excuse. It's an excuse. Then why at least get 10 people together and daven a minion in your room? Get a minion together at least. Trikali milsa. It's a burden. It would be too hard for me to pull that off. Why don't you tell someone? Tell a shamish. Can you let me know what time they're davening so I can daven at the same time as them? So he says, my kuli hai, what are you talking about? Is that a thing? Is it a thing to daven b'shah of the tzibur? Amalei, yeah. The Amar of Yochanan Mishum Mishum Yochai. My dechse. What does it say in the pasuk? It says, "Vanis v'nesilcha Hashem eis ratzon," and I am a tefillah to you, Hashem, eis ratzon. A masa eis ratzon. When is the time when it's an eis ratzon? It's a time of Hashem being wanting. B'shah Hashem tzibur mispalo. You don't have to be in shul even. If you start davening, when the tzibur starts davening, then you're going home and you're sick. But you know, in my community, it's 8 o'clock minyan. I can't get there because it's snowing outside, I have no car. I'm stuck. But I'm going to wake up, not later, on time. My tefillin on by 8 o'clock, I'm going to daven like the tzibur does, with the tzibur. You get a level of schar. Can you imagine the schar you get when you daven with the actual tzibur? So if you want to tell me, listen, it's long and it's boring, I have better options, harder focus around you. But I get it every day at 7:30, that was like for a minion in my room with the tzibur. Okay? I hear that. Well, I took a poll about most people who give me all these answers. What time do you wake up to daven then if you miss a minion? It's not 7:45. It's not. But it should be if you're really bored by the length of it, or it's too long, or it's hard to hope people are around. That'll be a good reason then to daven bisman in your room. That's not what it is. Every example on the board is just an excuse. I'll tell you how I know. There's a kid who was in yeshiva a few years ago. Nebuch, he's a great kid. He has a very serious case of cerebral palsy. He can't walk. He lives in a very cold area of town. And he texted me this heart-wrenching question that I have not answered. I'm avoiding the answer right now because I'm not sure what to tell him. Still looking into a little more. He said, I cannot get to shul without calling Uber at this point, in the mornings of his day. He gets to pick up my arms, fine. Should I pay $120 a week to have an Uber pick me up daily to get to shul on time? Can you imagine someone who wants to get to shul on time? He'll pay, if I tell him yes, he'll pay $120 out of pocket. His own pocket. His parents are not from, they don't care. To get to shul. And then our alarm goes off and we're tired. You know, my legs still work. I can still get up if I want to. And this poor kid is asking me, should I spend $120 a week to daven in the freeze, the chill of whatever community he lives in? At what point in time do we look at all the great reasons, and they're all reasons, they are, as just excuses? And I'll tell you one last point, then we'll stop. Valley Shore points out, this is important in life, not only for davening. There's something in life called Seder. I mentioned it before when the last group was here, and people are talking about it now a lot. It's not really a big deal, and most Rubain will tell you the same thing I'm about to say right now also. I'm not patting myself on the back when I say this. It's not meant to be a T4. I'm trying to explain something to you that's important. You know, Cal Ripken Jr. was a Baltimore Oriole way back in the day. I'm a big Oriole fan, and they made the biggest deal when he broke the consecutive game that's played, you know, in baseball. He broke a record. He was called they called him the Iron Man, right? He never missed a game. If you would ask most Rebbeim in this yeshiva or in the world, the last time they missed a minyan out of laziness or oversleeping. Right now I'm 44 years old, okay? That's my current age. I've said it. Okay, that's how old I am. I don't think I've missed a minyan. Except for flight reasons. Missing a flight, but catching the flights, so they don't allow, whatever. I can't get a minyan because I was like, right after time. In 20-something years. It's not a pat on the back. Every person's like me. Every person who's committed to davening doesn't miss minyan. You just don't miss. It's completely normal. It's called a seder. It's expected of you. That's what you're here for. Why would you ever miss something you're supposed to do? And by the way, it's not just like, well, it's a make or miss, not a big deal either way. It's a huge deal. A minyan hashmei rabba. It's a killer. It does so much when you say that. Even the daven at the same time as the minyan has chashivas to it. And to see people who are healthy and capable and will miss minyan for what? For what? Lazy? The last source is the Ali Short. He points out the following thing. That's what I want to show you. This is Marbrecha brings down. I'm Rabbi Chelbo. I'm Rabbi Chizna. Kol koveya makom mutfilaso elokei Avraham v'Azrael. If you're koveya a spot to sit in, a place to stand in your davening, you have nothing kavua, then the God of Avram will be on your side. God of Avram, what does that mean, God of Avram? He says, it means, hitnagud kavua b'prat katan v'schar kazeh. A little detail. I'm davening, but I pick that seat, and I go to that seat every time, or close to that seat every time. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the savings that he gave Avraham Avinu. Same one that I get also. Can you imagine? For a small thing, for just being consistent. That's my seat. By the way, don't kick someone out of your seat. Don't kick someone out when you're in your seat. To near that. Within 4 hours, counts also. If you went to Big Gedolim, you could know every part of their day before they did it because they always do it. It's called having Seder in life. When you are someone of consistency, someone who has Seder in life, that takes you so many places. In life, it takes you so far, not only in religion. As a husband, as a father, as a worker, as just a guy, you are someone who you call the shots. You dictate how you live your life. Nothing else affects you. I decide where I'm going to be when I want to be there. Again, traffic issues. It's my decision to make. I'm not lazy. I'm not too tired. And even if I am, I go anyways. That's what someone who's committed, who wants to be part of something special, who wants to be able to be with people around him and make a difference, who wants to wave his sword when he's having a bad day, knowing his tefillah goes straight to Shemayim anyways. That's the ultimate level of a person who's truly trying to get there. And I'll give you the following challenge. Most of you already, I think, probably do, but just those of you who want a little extra perk. To get 10 minyan in a row means you have 3+ days you don't miss a minyan. Shachar Mincha Maariv. 100 minyan in a row would mean a month, maybe a day,
and a month, a day, and a davening. You don't miss a minyan. That's a triple-digit streak. If you don't know where your streak is right now, see where you get to. No one in this room should be at less than double digits 3 days from now. And you shouldn't even be less than triple digits in a month and a day from now either. Some of you may already be there even. There's no reason we cannot hold ourselves. And by the way, when you start doing that, that's just the beginning. And it opens up the doors for you to have a streak, not only triple digits, but then into the thousands in a matter of time. And you'll never want to miss, because you understand that you are a person who has Seder in his life. Last question, then we'll stop.
Your streak, however long it is, does that include Minhor?
Of course. Of course. No, it could be I come late. Maybe I come late sometimes.
You miss for like flights.
Flights. For flights, I won't doubt a minion on flights. I don't doubt him with a minion on flights. Doubt myself. It's my own cheat. But yeah, Michal Marv also. Again, maybe I'll come late one time. I'll catch you in the middle. That's not good. But yeah, it includes Minchas and Marv. Every single tefillah is a part of the streak. Nothing is left out. Yeah.
At what point are you no longer considered part of the minion?
It's an excellent question. It's a good question. There's a halacha and there's like what I'm talking about. The halacha is, let's say for example, Mincha. If the Shliach Tzibur already began, you walk in after it began, then that's questionable. You know, if you already started throwing shots before you get there. If you daven with him, word for word, that's already part of that group. But I'm not even talking, just be there with the minute even is what I'm referring to. But it's an excellent question. Great question. Yeah?
Yeah, more of what Reese said is, I was told that if you start the Shema Esrei at the same time as cousin, that means you're actually part of the minute.
I agree, yeah.
Right, so if that's the case, then... Why can't you just shop at that point? And then,
you could do anything you want. It's just a question: what are you doing that for?
Right. I'm saying, then you get the idea. Then you get the
streak's still alive.
Yeah.
What am I doing it for? I mean, I'm not doing for a streak. No. I'm doing because I wanted more. But yeah, that would keep. If I was running late and I got there still, I'd be like, oh yes, streak's yes. You can feel a sigh of relief. The streak is still alive. I agree with you about that. Hope you all get that streak. If you haven't got it going, get it moving right now. Look forward to hearing from each of you. Text me. Now, the streak of double digits, text me. I'm at double digits right now, Rebbe. Triple digits, I want to text. I'm at triple digits right now, Rebbe. Let's watch that streak. Those numbers pile up and up. Have a great rest of your day. Daven well.
Amen.
Rebbe. Yes.